And we're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 18. If you are able and willing to rise for the reading of the Gospel, I would ask that you do so. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him in his glory, in the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And no man hath seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened. We thank you, Father, for the former years. We thank you, Father, for the experiences that you've given us over these years. But yet, Father, we've turned to you now, and we understand and know that you sanctify us. We ask that you would sanctify us through this word. And, Father, we know your word is truth. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. This text is actually a very dear text to me. It's the first sermon I've ever preached in my life. I was asked to preach down in Bruce Crossing years and years ago. And in fact, I was a seminary student, and I always had gone to the seminary saying, I'll never be a preacher. That's not why I went to seminary. And it wasn't. I heard a lot of ignorant things spoken within our groups as board member of a small church. And I also heard a lot of interesting things being spread throughout the country, and I also knew that I didn't have a clue about anything. And I felt as a board member that really my goal was to learn as much as I could learn so that I could help the church grow. It was never my intention to become a pastor. But the fact of it is God who calls, and who are we to argue? But the fact of it is, I had someone call me up when I was in seminary, and they said to me, yeah, is this Dr. Jesse Aho? And I said, yeah, this is Dr. Jesse Aho. I used to have all kinds of people that would turn around and actually joke with me and call me and make, you know, pretend they wanted me to preach somewhere. My friends from down south, my friends from out east. But this one wasn't a joke. I didn't know it. The guy had such an accent that I really thought it had to be, you know, played up, hammed up a little bit. And he says, we are wondering if you could come down to Bruce's and give us the word. And I said, I don't know. I'm too busy. He says, you're too busy. I said, yeah, way too busy. He goes, oh, sorry, and he hangs up. I came to SEM service at Zion that night. Pastor Jay came up to me, and he said, brother, he said, did someone from Bruce's call you? And I'm like, uh-oh, yeah, why? He said, what did you do? I said, I thought it was a joke. And I did. I thought it was a joke because who would want me to preach? See, sometimes we have a tendency to gauge people according to flesh. We have a tendency to gauge people according to whose boy they are, or where they come from, or what group they are. And I had no right to be in a pulpit. I understood that. So I told Jay, I thought it was a joke. I told him no, and he looked at me so serious, and I've never seen him so serious. He said, "Brother, if God asks you to preach, you preach." Now you call him back and you say yes. I didn't even argue. Got on the phone, I apologized to the gentleman, told him why I thought it was a joke, and maybe we are too human, maybe too many people did call me joking, but the fact of it is, I went down to Bruce Crossing, it was around January 2nd, and it was the first time I'd ever preached, and when I got there, I didn't know what to do. And the lady came up to me and she said, "Are you a pulpit or a pocket person?" And you might ask, what's that mean? And that's what I said, "What do you mean? When you preach, do your hands go in your pockets or do they go on the pulpit? Because it makes a difference where you put the mic." I said, "I have no idea. I've never preached before." She turned around and she says, "Well, you have your sermon written, right?" I said, "Written? No, I didn't write a sermon." Because the reality is, my writing's so bad I couldn't read it anyways. You guys have heard me, and it's not even a joke. I have a difficulty to read even scripture aloud. If I had to write my sermons, I'd be in trouble. You guys would have fired me a long time ago. But the fact of it is, I got behind that pulpit, and the consistency of God's promise was there. For the first time in my entire life, I was probably 36 years old. For the first time in my life, I was probably 34 years old. But anyways, I actually found what I was supposed to do in my life. God is consistent. It's not about us. And it's not about our abilities. It's not about you. This church is a wonderful place. This church is a place of fellowship and encouragement, but it's not about individuals. It's about the corporate body coming together, loving one another in the name of Jesus Christ. It's about encouraging one another. And that's what we need to look to in the upcoming year. Because there was a promise that was given. And it was given from the foundation of the world that God would send a remedy for our sinfulness, for our struggles. And His name is Jesus the Christ. So we're given a very direct order here, a very direct understanding from the Gospel of John. In the beginning, in the very beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, present with God, but yet also the Word was God. This goes beyond our understanding in human terms. This is a matter of faith and encouragement that God in reality has loved us so much He became part, if we could say, of our race, and He paid the penalty for our debt. God gave Himself for us. Do you hear the value that each and every one of us has before God the Father? We have a circumstance in this world where we have so many people feeling like they have no value. We have these statements about certain lives matter. And we'll even segregate that. Even though we talk about no segregation, we segregate those statements. The reality of it is God has looked upon this earth and He says, all lives matter. And I will give my only begotten Son for each and every one of you. This is the value we have. That our God, our Creator, has not sat on the sidelines and decided to see if we could make it to shore. He, in reality, has won the race for us. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, but ultimately the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it's speaking very boldly here of Christ. He says, all things were made by Him, and there isn't anything that wasn't made without His cooperation. He was involved. Our God is involved in every aspect of our lives. And He turns around and He says, now, everything was made in and through Him. In fact, in Him was life. He says, in this life, it actually is the light of men. This is what keeps us going. It is the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is God the Father operating in and through. It is God the Holy Spirit encompassing His world and taking on this role. Our God has a very, very, very inclusive attitude when it comes to us. You ever consider that? You know, even when we turn around and we deal with the economics of our world, oftentimes we turn and we seek for other people to fix situations in our lives. But how is it when we take an active role? How is it when we take an active role even in our earthly lives and we try to better ourselves? We notice that our attitudes go up. Everything works out better. We continue to grow and to strengthen. And I'm talking very earthly. But how is it when someone comes alongside of us? Even on the earthly standard, when we turn around and we look at the blessing of having a partner in our life, I have a beautiful partner that God has blessed me with. And we turn around and understand that God has blessed us with a helpmeet, that where one is weak, the other will be strong, that we can encourage one another. Well, how much ultimately more when God takes that role on Himself? Emmanuel, He comes to us in the flesh, and He takes on that burden of sin, and He nails it to the cross, that I have to bear it no more. This is the promise that is given. This is the light that enters into this world, the hope and the understanding of redemption through the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is no greater thing. And so when he comes to this point, he says everything was made through him. In him was life. This life is the light of men. And then he says something very bold that often we miss. He says in verse 5, he says, "The light shineth in the darkness." We know the world was dark. We know it was encompassed, filled with sin. And oftentimes, even in our own lives, we try to remove that physically by ourselves. And we know that's vain. It's futile. It has no ability. We cannot do it because we permeate of it ourselves. But he says that the light shineth. It comes through and shines in the darkness. And it says, and the darkness can't comprehend it. And we lose sight of what King James is saying here because we are so traditional often. We say we can't vary from the King James. And I have respect for that. King James is a beautiful version. But then know what it means. Understand the Old English. This comprehending is not just about understanding something. If I say I went in the house, I talked to my wife, I was telling her all about why not to start the car, but then she went and started it anyway. Why? Because she couldn't comprehend. She didn't understand. That's what we often think. That's not what this means. That would be quite depressing if that's all it meant. What this means is it says the darkness could not comprehend. It means it could not overtake. The light shineth into this world and the darkness could not overtake it. There is nothing that can overtake Jesus Christ entering in. There is nothing that can remove in reality the victory that He's secured for the human race. And this is something that oftentimes I in the flesh want to battle. No, there's got to be something I can do. It's not sweat equity. It's not my blood mingled with His. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and His alone that atones for my sin debt. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and His alone that atones for the sin debt of the world. It's not about politics. It's not about standards. It is about a gift of God given to this world. We heard Brother Mark. Mark read a beautiful part of Scripture. Beautiful. Ephesians. We get so confused when we start listening to some of that stuff because it has a word in there that often we get scared of. It says predestined. And we live in a world, we've come up with terminologies for predestination, and we have something that often we lose sight of. It's called dual predestination, where God has destined some for heaven and some for hell. That's garbage. I don't believe in it. God is not the author of evil. He is not cruel. What that says in Ephesians is God has predestined. He has given a path of salvation for all people to take. It is by grace through faith. And so when he comes down to this understanding, he says very plainly, God has opened the path of salvation for each and every living individual upon this earth. And they came in as a great light, and that darkness cannot take it away. Cannot overtake it. He says, now, continuing in the same thought, he says, you know what? God not only did this, not only was He present in all creation, not only did He come to this world and give life, not only was He the great light that we needed to hear, but He sent a messenger. His name was John. And this is John the Baptist, we understand. Jesus' cousin, basically about 6 months age difference. And we know the story. If we go through the Christmas story, we can read about that. But there was a man sent from God. His name was John. What was his purpose? The same individual came to bear witness of the light. He says that now, through him, all men may believe. He came and he preached of Christ. He pointed to the Lamb. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this position is not empty. This position is not now done. Now, John may be one of the last great prophets of the Old Testament, no doubt about it. John may be the greatest of all prophets, but the mission still continues that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, would not point towards doctrines of men, that we would not point in reality towards the understandings and the systems of men, but rather that we would point to the Lamb of God who takes the sin debt of the world away. We continue to preach and proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we know nothing else. That's what Paul says. The Apostle Paul himself says this. It's not some crazy pastor who's ranting and raving. It's not my idea or my theology. Paul says very plainly, I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I know nothing else, because it is His crucifixion and His payment that redeems me. And that's what redeems you. Do we have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do we proclaim this gift to a world? Do we encourage those that are bound and laden with sin? Or do we tell them, try to be a little better? Try to figure it out a little bit better. Try to do this, try to do that. He says, John came here, and he came to bear witness of a light. He pointed. He was not that light, but came to bear witness of that light. He says, to bear witness of that true light. He says, and that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God is the one to give us something very precious. He gives us life. And if you could say it this way, every individual that is born into this world has the opportunity to really, really exemplify the love of God throughout this world. And oftentimes we become, if we could say it this way, contaminated or messed up by different men's doctrines, where we are called to be the light of the gospel, the light of our Creator. And so he says very plainly, he says, He is the light that cometh into the world. And then he says very plainly, he says, you know what, now switching to Jesus altogether again, he says, He was in the world, He was in His own creation, but yet the creation didn't know Him. Why? Because their vision was skewed. Their vision was skewed by the sinfulness, by the fall. But yet that did not prevent Him, did it, from taking care of the issue? In other words, sometimes as human beings, we have this tendency to say, get your act together and then God will love you. Get your act together and God will do this. But that's not what the Scripture says. It says very plainly, in the midst of our sin, Christ was dying for the ungodly. It doesn't say anything about He waited for them to get their act together, then He said, okay, they got it together enough, now I'm going to go there. In the midst of our sin, that's true for you. That's true for me. But what about for the man down the street? What about for the drug addict? The homosexual? The religious, righteous, self-righteous. Isn't it hard to put it all on the same level playing field? See, we've lost sight of that in this day and age. I said a statement in there that sometimes can get a guy in trouble. I named some what we call sins. When did it become so ugh to be a sinner? I'm not saying we should relish in our sinfulness, but you know what? We've lost sight of the fact that we need to name in reality what sin is. It is a drawing away from how God has created us to be. It's a drawing away from, in reality, who we've been called to be and who we are in Christ. And I am a sinner. But I am a sinner saved by grace. And that same opportunity of grace is open to each and every one in this world. Where is it right to hate certain individuals because of certain things? When did I become perfect in myself? Never. There's certain individuals that when I see them, and I'm talking more probably, I'd say, the political stanza right now, that when I see them, my blood pressure goes up. But yet they are still precious souls that God has given His Son for. When is it ever right for me to hate? We can be angry over situations. We know that very plainly, don't we? When we deal with our children, we understand this. When our children do things that are outside the realms of what we want them to do, we get angry at the situation. But do we hate the child? No. We call for the child to become, more balanced. We call for the child to make better decisions. Do you think our God hates us? Even when we make mistakes, even when we do errors? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. God doesn't hate the world. And God doesn't hate certain sects of the world. He doesn't hate different people in the world just because of certain things. He may not approve of behavior, but we understand that just even as a reasonable human being. But just because I don't like something doesn't mean that God doesn't. I'm not God. Last I checked, I don't know. I do get a God complex once in a while. But may I even turn from those things? He says very plainly, He says He is the one that's given life to this world. And He came into this creation and they didn't even understand Him. He says, but you know what? That didn't stop Him. Because there now is this understanding of faith. He says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave them the power. To what? To be the sons of God. What does this mean? There is still that understanding. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, He gave His Son for the whole world, predestined a way of salvation for each and every one. But there still is even that clause in there, isn't there? And whosoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. To know and to receive, to understand the need of a Savior. When we lose sight of even what we could call, if we say it this way, of sinfulness, then why would we even need a Savior? Baffles me. We feel like sometimes if we raise the debt limit in our country, we no longer have debt. We have more money. You ever feel that way? It's like, I remember literally not too many years ago, I was probably about 21 years old, and I watched my kids now, and I'm like, don't you get it? Don't you get it? And what about me when I was 21? I remember literally saying, I got money. I got a credit card. That's how we think. Just because you take the title sin off, it's no longer wrong. What do you mean? It's still damaging. It's still hurting. So we come to the point of saying very straightforward. He said, it is of faith. He says, whoever receives Him, He gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And this is not a light statement. To believe on His name is to understand Him as Messiah. To understand Him as the anointed one, the sacrifice, the atonement for my sin. That's what this speaks. We read through that so fast, but that's what it speaks. He says, and it's not an understanding of being born by blood, by whose boy you are. Not by the will of flesh, by some great work that I can do. Isn't that what we like to do? Whose boy are you? Well, you know, I'm not really that great because I'm Dave Aho's boy. You know, Dave Aho, he got country western band. He's not really that great in the church. But Jelmer, my grandfather, he's pretty good. Yeah, Jelmer's a good boy. You know, I've been told by some in the congregations, you come from good stock because Matty P. Aho was my grandfather, great-grandfather. See how we are? He says, it's not according to that. It's not according to your bloodline. It's not according to the works of your flesh, by the will of your flesh. Nor by the will of man, because of you're going to the systems of men or being approved by men, but of God. It is of God. He says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and now John actually goes in and we actually hung out with Him and it was awesome. He was full of grace, unmerited favor, and truth, gave us exactly what we needed. He says, and John bare witness of Him, saying, this is exactly who I was talking about before. This is the one that came before me. Or after me, but yet was preferred before me. But I want to get to one very thing, because we're running out of time. Verse 16. He says, and of His fullness we have received something. We lose sight of this. He says, you know what? Now of Jesus Christ, in His fullness, we have received something. Grace for grace. Do you know what that means? That's like the penny a day times, you know, itself every day for how many days and you'll be a millionaire, where we think a penny isn't worth much. Grace for grace to all of us stingy individuals, to all of us self-righteous individuals. I'm speaking to myself more than I am to the choir. To each and every one of us, grace for grace means immeasurable, immeasurable grace. That's what we have received. Immeasurable grace. I don't need to look out there. I don't need to look anywhere else. And if I was to do some self-examination, I could just look to myself and say, when did I stop sinning? I didn't. Good thing I have immeasurable grace. Now, there's all those out there that would take the liberty and say, well, now you can say you're living any way you want. Well, you know what? I'll tell you the honest truth. If you're living in Jesus Christ, if you're following the Holy Spirit, live any way you want. And if you're not living in the Holy Spirit, not following Jesus Christ, you're living exactly how you want to anyway. Why do we get caught up in that? God has given us the gift of His Holy Spirit, and that's what Mark read about in Ephesians. We've received the down payment of our inheritance. And that Holy Spirit governs us and leads us and guides us. And if we're living according to that, then yes, live however you want. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you in paths of self-destruction. Paths of unrighteousness. Our God is greater than that. Our God is mighty and wonderful. Our God has given us immeasurable grace. May we understand and know that in the upcoming year. May we understand and know that the one that has come from God the Father has given us the redemption. May we understand that the gift of life is given in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and it's received solely by faith. May we be encouragers of the faith and not deluded with the world's problems. May we go into 2016 encouraged that if God be for us, who can be against us? For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the consistency of Your Word. We thank You that You have loved us in spite of ourselves. But Father, even these words that we read of today, and even the words that are found in Ephesians, they're difficult for the human being. They're difficult because, Father, we're workers by nature, and Father, we just want to do something to help You out. Father, allow us, even as the Apostle Paul would say, to die to self daily. And allow us to be encouraged in and through Jesus Christ. Allow us to be released from the bondage of men and from the bondage of our own ideas and understandings. And allow us to live solely in the hope and, Father, in the very mysterious simplicity of the gospel. Allow us, Father, to know Your Son. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.